You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Around the League podcast is all about that moolah.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the League podcast. I'm Greg Rosenthal, and I'm joined by a couple of heroes, Mark Sessler and Chris Wesseling. What's happening?
Hey, Greg.
Friday afternoon, a couple of games tonight, had a game last night. We are in the thick of it.
I feel good. Mark feels good. We both came in a little late. I've been on edge for these last couple podcasts. Not on edge, but a little.
You've needed some coffee.
I've needed some coffee, some sleep.
Why?
What's going on?
Let's get beyond the surface. Underlying the mood, what's getting to you? What's the issue in your life?
Well, I think preseason, week three.
The grind.
Okay, yeah, it's training camp for all of us. We're busy. There's a lot going on this year. We're hiring someone. There's a lot. And the first week of the preseason, everyone's back. Oh, yeah, this is great. Wow, it's football again. The second week of the preseason, for a second, I convinced myself I actually liked the preseason.
And by, what?
And by now, I hate it. I want it to end. The preseason's terrible. Bring on the season. I'm done with it.
That's what
is that fair?
That's what
fair,
watching fair. The Steelers will do to you.
It is done after week three, so we're very close.
Right.
I mean, forget week
we're
four.
We're there, but we're going to be here late tonight. We'll be here late tomorrow, and I'll just be happy, you know, to move on to the games. That's what we love, the real stuff.
Yeah, I do remember at one point, I was married at one point. I still am, technically. Haven't seen the wife in, like, weeks. Have two children somewhere. That's where we're at.
That's what I'm saying. So we've got a big show today. A surprise. We're going to do our fantasy football spectacular today. Little change of plans. We wanted to get it out there before a lot of you draft this weekend and early next week. Of course, Chris and I used to work in fantasy at RotoWorld. So we know the most popular two weekends of the year for drafts this weekend and next weekend.
Fantasy. Well, you're kind of out of luck if you don't take advantage of it then, right?
Well, you could always do it a couple days before the season starts, like that last half week. Oh, and a lot of people draft early, which never made a lot of sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Seems.
So let's get into it. Why don't we do a little bit of news, and then we're going to go through all the fantasy positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And with us, as always, TD, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? What did you do this? I'm ready for fantasy season, so
Do you even play fantasy?
I do, actually. I'm in the Fantasy Football League with the NFL Fantasy Live producers. I've been in that league for three seasons now. I've won two titles.
Wow. Really?
Yeah,
that surprises me.
Going for a dynasty.
Why are we hosting this show?
Well,
because
well,
you can chime in.
I'm not a fantasy advice guy. Well, I'll chime in here and there. I'm not an advice guy per se. I'm all going for the gut. Going for, you know, going off your gut.
I like that.
Almost like Sessler's. Fantasy Live guys aren't very good at their jobs.
That was my most common, you know, piece of wisdom responding to readers and stuff was go with your gut.
Go with your gut.
It's your
man.
Team. It's not my team.
What's the fun in it?
You can't, you know, you can complain to me when you pick the guys we like, but I don't really care.
I stopped giving advice on Twitter when I realized that every time I would just say, go with your gut.
Yeah, that's fair.
Today will be the first day I give advice on the fantasy realm, so.
Looking forward to it. First, though, we'll do a little bit of news.
And, of course, that's that being Ludacris' song, What's Your Fantasy?
Ah,
yeah.
Of course.
I prefer Roll Out.
Of course. We got to start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we're going to start with something that happened a few hours before the team flight to Philadelphia was about to take off. Le'Veon Bell and his running backfield mate, LeGarrette Blount, were pulled over by the police, who saw a vehicle going by with a strong smell of marijuana coming out the window, apparently. I guess that's how it happens.
It was like a Cheech and Chong episode.
And they pulled him over. And according to the police report, Bell initially said that they had just smoked a couple minutes before. And then they all admitted to having smoked, and there was some marijuana in the car. But they said it had been 2 hours before. And Bell said, I didn't know that you could get a DUI for smoking and driving. but you can. And he was charged with it ultimately. And Blount was charged with marijuana possession. They winded up playing in Thursday night's game, which we'll get to in a second. But do you have any big takeaways from the two Steelers running mates getting arrested?
I thought NFL Media's Marcus Grant won the Twitter joke off for this one.
There were a lot of jokes.
He is one of our fantasy writers, and he said this is not what we had in mind when we advised handcuffing LeGarrette Blount to Le'Veon Bell.
Fair. That's excellent. I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll wait to see if the league does something. I would assume they'll do very little.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's the Steelers.
It's going to put them in. Oh, stop. Mark, the Browns fan, thinks there's some conspiracy to help the Steelers out. They suspended
Maybe
Ben
Josh Gordon can take each of their two games.
This happened to Dwayne Bowe last November, and they didn't suspend him until nearly a year later.
It's more that, to be serious. I just think the time frame, right. It's not going to be an immediate reaction.
They have to wait for the legal process to play out. You would think it maybe would go a little quicker since both players admitted to what they were charged with to the cops. So I don't know if it'll go through quickly, but the legal process will have to play out. Lawyers will get involved, and maybe they're not even suspended this season.
Just get the arbiter that's involved in the Gordon case, and we should find out sometime, March 2017. Right. We'll find out.
So does this news change the Steelers' heat for the team of ATL at all? I know you've been a big supporter for them.
Why would that bother me?
Well, here's what
bothered
me.
Well, because what if they're missing their two running backs? They only have one other running back on the roster that's ever carried the ball in his career. Can you name that man?
Hold on. Tarin Poole?
No. It's their fullback who has two carries.
Will Johnson.
Here's the concern why there is some ATL heat on this, and I think it's not because of what the league does, which could take until next year, who knows. But when they tried to interview LeGarrette Blount, later in the day when he got to the stadium last night, he shielded his face with a Louis Vuitton bag. You're out. We don't pick teams where players are walking around with Louis Vuitton bags.
That would eliminate a lot of teams.
I have no answer for that. That's a very fair point.
That's on my radar.
Well, Mike Tomlin.
Was it like a purse?
What is a bag? A man carrying a bag. I don't know what kind of a bag it was. I'm assuming it was a male version
of a
purse.
I carry a backpack into work every day. Well, I used to carry a satchel.
It wasn't a Louis Vuitton camping backpack. Look, it was a man bag.
My favorite team is run by a Hall of Fame quarterback who, endorses Uggs and definitely has some man bags. So I'm not going to judge on that. You know what I'm saying?
It's also been to five Super Bowls.
I am judging the hell out of LeGarrette Blount right now.
All right,
now.
Well, they played on Thursday night, and Chris and Mark, you guys were both watching that game. Bell and Blount did not really play that well. The offensive line sounds like they struggled. Mike Tomlin basically thought it would be rewarding the two of them by keeping them out of a preseason game, so they had to play. Any worry about the Steelers' offense?
Well, they looked horrible, but it's preseason, and I feel like they have talent, so I won't put too much into this game.
I think it's all, the Steelers melted on both sides of the ball. I'm with Wes. I am not concerned at all. I think the Eagles' defense has played well in a couple preseason games. They've looked better than I thought they did at last season. That's more on my radar than you can't. You're not gonna, if you do no scheming for a game and then you're suddenly facing LeSean McCoy and Chip Kelly's offense, it's probably not going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, they didn't scheme, and then the whole team looked like they were in the car with Bell and Blunt.
Is there any chance that we're underrating the Eagles a little bit? They were a team I really loved going into last year. Picked them to win the division, and I just. They're just such a fun team to get behind. And now it's like the year later, and for some reason I'm not as excited about them. But I was thinking last night, maybe I should be. Maybe they're going to be a top three or four team.
I think there's a chance, you know, we're underrating them. Yes, there's a chance.
I put them high in my power rankings, have them winning the East, and cited them as a team of ATL candidate a couple months ago. So for myself, I have not underrated them.
Yeah, I guess I'm asking the question to myself. I'm beginning to think, and it's not because of the preseason game. I just was thinking about, a lot of times I base predictions off the divisions, and that division's terrible. So maybe they'll roll up a lot of wins and be a team that could get a bye.
Especially after you boldly, and you were alone in this in a room, picking them to win the East when so many people thought last year that wouldn't happen. I'm surprised you're not riding that to a two-year road.
Well, I can still change my mind. We haven't put things on paper yet. Chip Kelly...
genius.
He's a genius. Dan's not here to disparage him. Dan Hansis, of course, our host, which I miss badly. I really miss not being the host at this point.
Dan's child is already not buying into the Chip Kelly experience.
All these articles that you read about Chip Kelly, you know, Chris Brown on Grantland had a great one, and Field Yates had a good one on ESPN.com. I just started thinking, like, maybe he really is a genius. Maybe he's going to dominate with all these methods on defense, on offense, the practice.
Nick Foles was on pace for 360 yards at halftime last night, and he was throwing the balls over his receiver's head, at their feet, wide, did not look good at all, and had 179 yards at halftime. That's how good Chip Kelly's offense is.
To me, that's the story of Nick Foles' 2013 season. Never as impressive when you watch the games as when you looked at the box scores.
Well, and as a 1B to that example, Mark Sanchez suddenly looks like he should be a starting quarterback
again in
the NFL.
Watch out, Matt McGloin. Mark Sanchez gunning for preseason MVP.
Ooh. Yeah. Chris, of course, is alluding to the first ever preseason MVP award, which we'll be giving out on Around the League on the site, and we'll talk about it on the podcast. Matt McGloin is my favorite right now for the award because he made the Michael Jordan shoulder shrug from the NBA Finals after he threw a game-winning touchdown.
In the preseason. Like
that. That's big. You have to respect that, TD, right? In the preseason.
I mean, that's the way to do it, you know? MJ shrug. Hashtag MJ shrug.
But just the cojones on Matt McGloin to do that, I just loved it.
And TD, you're a body language expert. That must have thrilled you.
I like Matt McGloin. He reminds me of a, you know, Bruce Gronkowski type of backup that, you know, they come in with energy, they're ready to go.
Damning with faint praise there.
That has to be the biggest range of body language between starter and number three quarterback in the NFL. Schaub's got about the worst body language.
Great. Schaub does not inspire any confidence.
It just gets better as you go down the depth chart.
Research project for you. See if there is any connection between male onset pattern baldness among quarterbacks and good body language. Because Schaub, I think that gets in his head.
Crying out loud, a guy with, you know, shaky hair is not, you know.
You're the quarterback.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying, if you go all ball like Wes does, like, you know, to shave
boss.
It off like MJ, that's boss, yeah. But if you're out there struggling and your teammates can see you're struggling, we don't really know about you.
Your beard is weird. Your stash is trash.
Oh, my gosh. Let's move on. Our final news item, and then we'll get to the fantasy preview. Dean Blandino was on NFL Total Access after Thursday night's game, and he was clear that he expects penalties to go down when the regular season starts. The numbers have been staggering. They've gone from an average of 14 a game to 23 per game. He thinks it'll back up in the regular season. Do we trust that?
We need TD to throw in a hallelujah drop after that.
Well, let's see. Let's see if it actually happens. I don't know.
We've talked about this. We believe it will go down. Okay. The NFL isn't stupid. They know it's not entertaining.
A lot of times when you watch a game and everyone gets into a frenzy, like last year, there's so many more injuries. And then a study comes out and says, actually, it's exactly the same. That's how I felt watching these games. And then the numbers over the course
of the games are longer.
They're outrageous. And I think that the NFL is smart enough to not sabotage the product by what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, he sent a message to all the officials watching. I'm sure he's sending them, you know, more officially as well in memo. I guess the edict will be you better back it off when the games start. And the key words to me was he said, we don't want to slow down the sport. So they know. So hopefully it's not going to happen because this preseason, it's been tough to watch.
Well, I think you have no trust that even a solid defensive play or what would have been in the past a solid defensive play isn't going to sustain a drive with a flag. Over and over, we're looking at you can say, Johnny Manziel had a 16-play scoring march
right.
only because of the flags on that drive.
Yeah, they have 4 rules of emphasis this year. That's more than ever before. That's part of the reason all these flags are popping up. One of them is actually offensive. Offensive pass interference is one of the rules of emphasis. And those have been called
We've
a lot
seen
more,
a few, yeah.
too, in the preseason. So hopefully that changes when this terrible preseason ends. All right, that's enough news. We got to get to the big stuff, the fantasy preview. We've been talking up this show since Jack Kansas was just a figment in Dan's imagination. You know what I mean? For months we've been talking this up. So let's get right down to it. We won't be too formal, but let's go through each position by position, starting with the quarterbacks. And what I'm going to do, you guys can tell me if this is okay. I'm going to go through some of the average draft positions, and we'll just kick it around. Who seems too high? Who seems too low? Maybe we'll throw some sleepers out there during the show. So let's start at quarterback. Getting taken in the first round this year, Peyton Manning, number 9 overall. You normally don't see quarterbacks go any higher than that. That's about the limit. Drew Brees is the number 2 quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, number 3, also in the second round. Then a big drop-off to number 4, Matthew Stafford, and number 5, Andrew Luck in the 4th and 5th rounds. Any thoughts out of that top 5 group? What stands out?
I'm surprised Drew Brees isn't number 1. I guess I shouldn't be surprised since the fantasy industry insists that 2013 stats control everything. Drew Brees, I feel like, is going to have a career year and probably shatter some of Peyton Manning's records this year. I would draft him over Peyton Manning.
Yeah, it seems like the fantasy world in general looks back as much as they look forward on some of these. But
it's a problem.
What about Aaron Rodgers? I would take up there with those guys too. But, the 1, 2, and 3, 4 situation here, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, but there's a big drop off to Stafford, which makes sense to me. But I was a little surprised that Stafford was such a solid number 4, a round ahead or half a round ahead of Luck, a round and a half ahead of Tom Brady, 2 rounds ahead of Matt Ryan. I don't like Stafford in fantasy any better than those 3 guys behind him.
Tom Brady is the one name on this list that jumps off the page to me.
Right.
He's being drafted at the beginning of the 6th round. 2 rounds after Matthew Stafford, 5 rounds after Peyton Manning. He's got better weapons this year than
right.
last year by far. Tom Brady's going to bounce back and have a big year.
Isn't that, again, people looking back at and the offseason narrative of he's done, basically.
It's absolutely a problem in fantasy football. People draft last year's stats and expect them to happen again this year.
And you know what I always like to do when I was doing my fantasy research when we were putting our rankings and everything together at RotoWorld was I would like to look at what they were ranked coming into the season in previous years. And so just a couple years ago, just last year, Tom Brady was taken wildly high, and yet there's no good weapons around him. And what has really changed about Tom Brady for all the people that would have taken him in the top 25 last year, top 30? It's better this year.
It's better.
I'd rather have him this year if you look at the weapons around him.
Yeah, I agree. Another guy who stands out as too low to me is 9th round Tony Romo.
Okay.
We know they're going to have shootouts this year because of that defense. They've got Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, DeMarco Murray, Terrence Williams. They've got a good number 2 tight end in Gavin Escobar. And an awesome offensive line, as Mark has pointed out. They're going to score a lot of points in Dallas.
I think people might just be concerned. I'm going to anchor my team to Tony Romo, and this is taking a couple weeks' worth of drafting. It's only last week that we saw him get on the field.
Yeah.
That might be one guy that stands out for me, and I like him. I've had him before as my fantasy quarterback, is Cam Newton. He's at number 10. But you know what? I think the rushing is going to be down this season. He looked to me like a different guy in terms of his mobility, obviously, in the last preseason game. And I like Benjamin at the wide receiver spot, but there's issues there. I'm not sure I would go that high with him.
See, I disagree. I think he's undervalued there. Cam Newton, to me, again, he's another guy who would have been taken as the top two or three quarterback a year ago. For fantasy, I don't think he's going to be that much worse this year.
I don't think he's ever finished out of the top three quarterbacks in standard fantasy leagues.
Yeah, he is a guy who's a better fantasy quarterback than a reality quarterback. And I guess the situation around him is worse this year.
RG3's getting drafted
worse.
Ahead of him in Fools.
I could see why RG3 is, though, really? With what they added.
RG3 just, to me, until
this
he learns...
This is your comeback player of the year.
I'm starting to sour on him. Until he learns a baseball slide, which we all learn by age six, until he learns that, he's going to be an injury risk. Biggest injury risk in the league.
I was going to do a rant on, wouldn't you rather... I've kind of come around to the fact that you should take sure things in fantasy more than we do. So many people are always looking for the positional scarcity and who's got the upside, and yet you pass on like a guy like Aaron Rodgers early in a draft when you know he's going to be incredible.
Right.
Maybe for a guy like Monty Ball, who seems like a sure thing, but you know he might not be a sure thing. Or Marshawn Lynch, who's getting older. Or Giovanni Bernard, who I'm not sure about his role. Like, wouldn't you rather have a sure thing?
Yeah, I don't. I never like this trend where all the fantasy experts have to agree that there's only one way to build a roster. You
right.
have to go running back in this round, or you can't go quarterback early. If you can't win a fantasy league with Aaron Rodgers in the second round as your quarterback, you need to get out of the fantasy business.
Right, that's the thing. I think fantasy drafts, when you look back at them at the end of your season, it's all about, did I get some value out of each pick? Like, did I have a lot of swings and misses? So even if you took Aaron Rodgers in your first round, it's not going to be a swing and miss. No matter what happens with your fantasy year, you're not going to look back and be like, oh, that's where I blew it. I should have taken that.
You blew it.
You know, that's not where you're going to blow at. So I think it's stacking guys that you know are going to help you.
I look at this list too, and I you guys are the fantasy guys. I play occasionally for fun. I find it a little bit of an obscene activity.
You're a little
with.
Tired of fantasy. Let's
I
be honest.
I just think no.
All three of us are, aren't we?
Tired of it would suggest that I once enjoyed it. I've never liked it the way you guys do. I don't think it's something our grandfathers would look at us and just laugh at us that we spend time organizing teams
That's
around.
Guaranteed.
I mean, it's just absurd. But beyond that, because it's something that we pitch and we are involved in, I look at lists
Teddy
like
Roosevelt well, is rolling over in his grave.
I chose to do this. I'm having fun right
no,
now.
No, I'm
this
having fun too. When I build a team, though, that's I don't take it hyper seriously. I don't need to tweet out my lineup to 5,000 people.
I love that because there are a lot of people who play in fantasy football who have your same attitude. Why would you not want to roster guys who you enjoy watching?
Exactly. And that's why when I look at the quarterback, I go, who do I eliminate right off the bat? Everyone we talked
Jay
about
Cutler.
Would be a candidate.
Oh.
But for me, Eli Manning...
He's gone.
I would never anchor my
never.
Team around him.
Getting drafted in the 13th round as about a mid-range backup.
Number two, Sam Bradford. Are you kidding
Come
me?
On.
I mean, how do you walk around excited about this 16, 17-week operation
How do you
with
sleep at night with Sam Bradford as your fantasy quarterback?
I don't get it.
I got it.
Guys
TD.
Are making great points here. Again, that's another one of my advice. Go with guys you want to watch. Go
yeah.
with guys
you
that
go.
You're interested in watching. I'm not trying to watch Eli, Sam Bradford. All those
I got
guys.
A sleeper.
So, great point.
All right.
A guy who's being drafted as a quarterback two, who I think could produce as a quarterback one.
Carson Palmer.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, I was joking. I love it.
That's no, good. I do. Like, I think everybody's excited about John Brown, which is cool. You should be excited about him. Michael Floyd, breakout season. One thing I really like, and a lot of people aren't really talking about this, Larry Fitzgerald played through a pair of hamstrings last year, and nobody really talks about that. I think he bounces back this year.
And they're going to find out. And I think they already know this myth of Andre Ellington running the ball like 580 times this season. They're going to throw the ball all day long.
And Ellington helps Palmer because he might be the best receiving running back after Darren Sproles.
Andrew Luck might be fun to take this year.
Oh, sure.
Fifth round's pretty.
He's fun all the time.
Pretty reasonable. I'm loving Matt Ryan. The two guys that really stand out to me would be Matt Ryan at the end of the sixth round as a mid-range quarterback. I think he's going to have big numbers this year. And then you mentioned it, Wes, Tony Romo. I mean, I could sit back and enjoy taking some running backs and wide receivers if I wasn't feeling the quarterback value. take Romo in the eighth round, get a round ahead of it, and enjoy the touchdowns. Tony Romo is one of the most consistently great fantasy quarterbacks of the last decade. I don't see why that's changing.
One other thing, and if you are a guy that drafts a quarterback real late and Russell Wilson's sitting there, I think you can get value on him because they're going to throw the football more this season. They've already started to do that. You got Percy Harvin potentially. Mm. I never trust him to last, but let's say he does. They're changing their offense a little bit. Bucky Brooks wrote a great piece about how they are going to start to expand that passing game, and he gives you stuff on his feet too.
One name, of course, we didn't see on the quarterback rankings, Johnny Manziel. I guess no one's buying into him. Or Brian Hoyer, for that matter.
They're updated.
Well, this list only goes to 24.
You are a
factory of sadness. If this list went down to 75 or 80, you would see Brian Hoyer.
All right, let's go to the money position. Running back. I'm going to give
the
you...
The money position.
Yeah, it is.
Not in the NFL.
Not in the NFL, but in fantasy, these are the guys who get taken the highest. I'm just going to say the top 10 real quick. LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, and Adrian Peterson. The big debate. Actually, let's stop right there.
How is Adrian Peterson not number one? That's crazy.
Yeah, let's stop right there because that's the big debate. And I haven't seen a year quite like this in as long as I can remember where there's a three-way tie almost for different leagues. Usually a consensus does form. Who would you take, Wes?
Adrian Peterson should be drafted number one every single year.
Yeah, until you're the guy that takes him number one and that suddenly goes very badly for you, I would agree. Why would you? You know who
Jamal
he is.
Charles, come on.
Jamal Charles, forget it.
No one has seen his offensive line?
Yeah, it's not a knock on the other two.
I agree. But I had the number two pick last year in the one league. I'm down to one league now. And I took Shady. And at the time, he was going six or seven. And I love Shady. I mean, I think it's legitimate to draft a guy who had 2,000 yards and brings so much more in the passing game than Adrian Peterson over Peterson. I wouldn't really argue either way, but along those lines of take the guys who you like watching, I mean, I love watching both these guys, if they get me wrong, but I love me some Shady. I'm fine with that. Take him first. Why not? You disagree?
Well, it's your team. You should do what you
pleases. Yeah, I think you should do what you... I'm just saying I would never take anybody but Peterson, number one.
All right, after that, it's Matt Forte. Wow, the highest he's ever been, a top five pick, finally, because he's been delivering.
Mark Trestman offense.
And there's no competition for him at that position.
And he's been delivering consistent numbers. He's a guy who's gotten overlooked too often in the top 10 of fantasy drafts because he's not quite as sexy or high upside.
Well, there were a lot of years where Michael Bush was the touchdown vulture too.
It's true, but in the end, when you looked at the final stats, Forte would be there, as a top five fantasy running back. Eddie Lacy's next. Marshawn Lynch still going in the top 10. DeMarco Murray, seventh at running back, starts off the second round in a lot of drafts. Monty Ball, Giovanni Bernard, and Arian Foster wraps up the top 10. Any of those names stick out to you,
what
good or bad?
What is going on with Giovanni Bernard at second round, fourth
that
pick?
That concerns me.
Really? A lot of hype, but...
Jeremy Hill's going to see the ball.
It's basically a committee backfield to some degree.
Yeah. Hasn't looked great by all accounts. Not by all
accounts. Didn't the Bengals tell us what they thought of Giovanni Bernard when they used a second round pick on Jeremy Hill?
Wouldn't you take
He's not a feature back. I love Giovanni Bernard, but he's not going to get the ball 25 times a game.
I mean, they've got him two spots higher than Alfred Morris, who I would take Morris over Bernard.
Le'Veon Bell is... four or five spots behind Giovanni Bernard.
Well, if we can go down the list,
sure,
a bit there,
do whatever you want.
Well,
baby.
Down in the office, we talked a little bit about this. They've got Reggie Bush at number 16, four spots ahead of Frank Gore. To me, that's offensive.
I agree. It's very offensive. What's going on? Joique Bell might lead the team in carries this year.
I don't know about Marshawn Lynch in the top 10 still. Am I the only one who doesn't expect him to have nearly as good a fantasy season as he did a year ago, which was already significantly down from the year before? Like, is all this offseason talk about Michael and now Turbin, was that just hot air? No one's buying that? I'm buying it.
I would hesitate a little bit. I still think if they need to lean on the guy, that's going to be who it is for them. But Turbin looked like a different player to me. He might be... on offense, one of their most improved players from where he was a year ago. And maybe if they get down the stretch and they're where we think Seattle will be, it's a smart bet to bench Lynch, not bench him, but to rest him for stretches and let Michael and let Turbin play more. That's right when you're in your playoff season.
Here's my big picture strategy. When those running backs are coming up, I like DeMarco Murray actually at that spot at the start of the second round.
Six games.
I'm fine with that. I'm going to take the risk. But instead of taking those running backs like Ball, Bernard, and I would even throw Lynch in there, you can still take A.J. Green. No, you can still take Dez Bryant. You can take Jordy Nelson or Julio Jones. That's what I'm doing in that spot. I like those guys a lot
better. The league's changing.
When I look at this list, I had the exact same scenario as you. I want one of the top five running backs. I would hope to get a top five pick this year, draft McCoy, Charles, Peterson, Forte, or Lacy.
Agree.
Ignore running backs. All these guys getting taken in the second and third round, too big of question marks. You go wide receiver second and third round back to back.
I tend to agree. Other running backs going that early that you mentioned that are question marks, Doug Martin, Le'Veon Bell, Zach Stacy going early in the third round. That's a little bit of a surprise to me. Andre Ellington in the middle of the third round. God, I love Andre Ellington, but I don't love him that much. That surprises me. I have to admit, I'm coming into this cold, but I think that's helpful, actually, because some things stand out. There's a weird logic. Why is Andre Ellington going in the top 30 picks?
I think enough people have read the headlines over the year, but they haven't read or seen everything else, and he's been pumped up as much as any player in that division.
Injury waiting to happen.
I do like him, but
I see a couple of absolute workhorses available in the fourth round.
All right, who?
Toby Gerhart and Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, I like
Matthews is too low.
Guys like Reggie Bush are getting taken ahead of Ryan Matthews. What's up with that?
I don't know if you're looking.
That's
crazy. If you're even looking at last year, why is Matthews not
Rashad Jennings ahead of Ryan Matthews?
Because he doesn't catch any passes.
But there's such a run heavy offense.
A lot of leagues are point per reception. I'm just saying that's the logic against Matthews. But I agree, that little fourth-round group, Gerhart, Gore, and Matthews, I would just as well have any of those guys as the runners in the second round. That's the recipe. I guess we're saying go receiver early.
Here's how goofy Ryan Matthews and Frank Gore's rankings are. The guy behind them in ADP is Bishop Sankey, who's third on the Titans' depth chart.
Another a big product of hype, though, maybe for people just catching up, you know.
Do you guys trust in Zach Stacy as a fantasy guy?
No,
I would take nobody on that offense.
Neither would I.
What about Rashad Jennings going in the top 40? That's really surprising.
I don't think Andre Williams is going away, and I know that a lot of Giants fans say that Coughlin doesn't play rookies. But he always has a tandem backfield.
I hate that pick.
And Andre Williams is good. I don't like Rashad Jennings there either.
I hate it. That's one of my – you can't take Rashad Jennings in the first four or five rounds.
You got to get stuck with that.
He's this year's Daryl Richardson. What are you doing drafting Daryl Richardson in your fantasy draft? Why would you do that?
He's not this year's Andre Brown. But at this time a year ago, I made the same rant on this very fantasy preview podcast saying people are insane taking Andre Brown in the seventh or eighth round because you got to bet on talent. You shouldn't bet just on situation. You got to pick players that are good at football. Like, that sounds stupid, but Rashad Jennings, he's okay, which brings us to the guy who really stood out to me on this list, Trent Richardson at 58. I just can't see it because I just don't think he's very good.
Well, it's telling that, you know, last year NFL Network's fantasy commercials featured Trent Richardson with a guy sitting on his shoulders or something. He couldn't have been more of a fantasy centerpiece. No running back's fallen farther than Trent Richardson, and I think all of us agree he hasn't fallen far enough on this list.
I don't agree with it.
Let's hear it.
Greg and I agree. Wes does not agree.
Yeah, we got it. Mark and I are right.
I'm not
prepared to say he's bad at football. Mark and I were watching some of his rookie season highlights this morning. He was good at football.
This is what happens when I come in a little late. You guys just watching T. Rich highlights.
What happens is that we are talking and writing about football. I thought that was our job.
Your feet up on
Mark's
the desk.
Shift was prematurely started an hour and a half early.
It's awesome.
I think his competition for carries is a guy coming off neck surgery who never stays healthy in Ahmad Bradshaw. Vic Ballard's out for the year. They don't have anyone else at running back. They're going to be a high-scoring offense. I think they're going to use a lot of spread looks, which will help him against boxes that will be a lot softer this year. I think there is some potential for Trent Richardson to play a little better.
What we saw this morning, looking at all his snaps from this preseason, is that when they run the pistol, he had his two best runs where it's a little bit of a different formation for them. But where I take up a difference with Wes a little bit is that, yes, it is absolutely true that the guy they traded the first-round pick for in Cleveland was he wasn't the Alabama running back, but he still had explosiveness. He could catch the ball. He had yards after contact. What I see now and what I'm seeing this summer is a shadow of that.
Forget about him. I think you're chasing good money after bad here, that everyone saw him as a top 10 pick last year. And I think just the name is getting people to draft him there. He's not battling Ahmad Bradshaw. He's battling all those little tippy toes that he's making as he's going up again. He's battling maturity issues, picking up the offense. We've heard stuff off the record about Richardson and
now it's on the record.
Well,
He's being drafted behind Ben Tate and Chris Johnson. I would take Trent Richardson over both of those guys.
I don't know about Tate. Well, let me ask you this, Wes. Isn't that a setup for a very frustrating situation if you take Trent Richardson and he doesn't flip the switch as soon as week one?
You're drafting him basically at the beginning of the sixth round. So he's your second running back. He's not.
Well,
you're not building your roster around him.
I would not want him as a starter.
You know who else is at the beginning of the sixth round? Tom Brady. And Matt Ryan's late in the round. Torrey Smith is the first pick average draft position in the sixth round. Jordan Cameron, Verdon Davis. All those guys are great at what they do. So at that round, I'm hoping I can still get a little more value.
All I'm saying is if you can get a three-down running back in a high-scoring offense, sixth round's a good place to get it.
All right, we got to move this along. So let's look towards the end of the running back list. Anywhere after the seventh round, who are some sleepers or undervalued guys you like?
I've found a guy in the 10th round and a guy in the 13th round that will be on my roster if they are going here.
I see that Knowshon Moreno is in the 10th round. Is that your guy?
That is not my guy.
Okay, I kind of had a feeling.
Mark Ingram, if he's going to keep running like Ryan Matthews in August of 2013, will be on my roster. Jonathan Stewart, 13th round, behind James White. Jonathan Stewart.
That's stupid. Don't draft James White, by the way.
Draft a good football player, like you said, Jonathan Stewart. Good football player, win healthy. Sure, he's an injury risk, but in the 13th round, he could be.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great.
He's better than D'Angelo Williams.
Write that down, people. Stewart in the 13th round, the same round that guys like Niall Davis and Ronnie Hillman and Lance Dunbar are going, give me a break. Give me some J. Stu. I think there was a year that I ranked him and D'Angelo Williams 12th and 13th.
I remember
overall
that
going into the year because it was the year they were what a stupid
smash
ranking.
And dash.
See, that's why I'm doing this now.
I got one for you. 11th round. You've already probably got your starting backfield.
I should hope so.
You do. I might, but you guys would. LeGarrette Blount. Why not? The guy is going to see more time than we think. That's my prediction. And number two, he's going to see touchdowns.
That's definitely a timeshare.
Yeah, he is a good fourth or fifth back because. When your guys are on a bye, you just throw Blount in there. You hope he basically gets a touchdown. You got about a 50% chance he scores a touchdown in the week.
And it's not going to cause a locker room problem because we know that these two running backs, they're friends.
Right.
They spend time together off the field. Well, they're close.
Well, you do want to think about the makeup of your fantasy team like that. Blount is definitely a good guy to have at the team party. just a fun guy to have around in general. You know who I like at the end? It's right along with you, Kyrie Robinson.
Kyrie.
I guess Kyrie Robinson. I'm not quite buying the Mark Ingram experience. I'm also liking Chris Ivory that deep. I know he never can stay healthy for long, but I think he'd be a fun pick late. I think Darren McFadden, for the first time in my life, would be an interesting fantasy pick in the 10th round.
You're not buying Mark Ingram, but you are buying Darren McFadden.
I like what I've seen out of McFadden this preseason, yes. For a 10th round pick.
But then you'd have to have a Raider on your team.
I can live with that.
All right.
I like Wes's theory about we don't pick players
on
from
bad
teams
offense.
That are built up essentially of bad players and are going to go three
I
wins.
Can guarantee you I will not have anyone from the Raiders, Browns, Bills.
You wouldn't take Sammy Watkins?
No. He plays in a bad old. He's got EJ Manuel throwing.
All right, last guy I'm going to say that you can't draft is Devontae Freeman in the 8th round. I like Devontae Freeman.
I do
but
too.
That's much.
Why is he going that high? That's crazy talk.
That seems totally bizarre.
What if you're in one of these keeper leagues, though, or like a dynasty?
Well, that's not what these rankings are. Okay. We're doing it for redraft leagues, essentially.
Yeah. We don't have enough time to get into that.
No, and that's what these average draft positions are not reflecting, like a dynasty league or an auction. Give me a break with this.
Why am I even on this podcast?
What?
No, I'm kidding. I mean, I don't even know the ground rules.
Throwing
here.
Out valuable information.
Yeah, that was great because we never told our listeners what we're talking about. You're right.
Ground rules.
All right, let's go to
Wyatt. You solved the Reggie Bush puzzle.
What?
He doesn't need to be drafted that high.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, that should be obvious to anyone that watches the
sport. Let's go to receiver. It's a more stable position than it's ever been in NFL history, and then in fantasy football history too, which is why I think load up early if you can. The top 10 is as big and consistent as I've ever seen. Calvin Johnson, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, A.J. Green, Brandon Marshall, Julio Jones, Jordy Nelson, Antonio Brown, Alshon, and Randall Cobb, number 10. Anything stick out to you if you're drafting early of guys that you would target or stay away from?
I think you're fine with any of those guys.
I know.
I noticed
can't
that the
just forget the second round running back, seriously.
Did the fantasy group think Demaryius Thomas is their guy this year, that he's better than everyone else?
Yeah, that's strange to me. I would definitely take Dez Bryant over him. I would take A.J. Green. I would take Alshon Jeffrey over him, and Jeffrey's down at ninth.
I would take Alshon Jeffrey over Demaryius Thomas.
I love Alshon Jeffrey, yeah.
That's crazy talk.
I might be willing to go Dez Bryant.
So they're a round apart.
One.
Take the guys you like.
You should.
Demaryius Thomas is the number one receiver in Peyton Manning's offense, and they don't have Decker this year.
They spread their ball around, and they'll continue to.
But Demaryius Thomas does the same thing every year, like 1,412 TDs.
That's fair. Alshon Jeffrey is a little bit more of a risk, but he is a wildly talented risk. I think he's just as talented as Demaryius Thomas, and I think that offense is going to be pretty close to the Broncos in terms of yards. You don't think so?
I can't get on board with Alshon Jeffrey over Demaryius Thomas.
I also love Jordy Nelson. Julio Jones, I'd rather have him than Demaryius Thomas. I wouldn't put Thomas in my top five. I mean, I'd still put him in the second round, but I wouldn't put him in my top five.
Wes Welker looks like he's about one hit away from retirement. I don't know if I'd be taking him in the fourth round. And then the other guy who sticks out to me, Emmanuel Sanders, is being drafted around the same group as Julian Edelman, Torrey Smith, T.Y. Hilton, and above Marcus Colston and Mike Wallace. Has anyone seen Emmanuel Sanders play?
Sanders seems wildly high. Mike Wallace seems wildly low. And I'm not a huge Mike Wallace fan. But
if you're taking Emmanuel Sanders over Mike Wallace, you're going to lose your fantasy football.
I think that has to do
because you're not a very smart person.
That has to do with people just seeing he's on Denver. For me, the one that I would not – I cannot fathom Victor Cruz at number 13. Mm. I like Cruz.
That's another offense we don't want anybody
right,
in.
In that Giants offense, I would never do that. I would flip him with T.Y. Hilton's all the way down to number 24. I think Hilton's only getting better.
Yeah, love Hilton. Torrey Smith is way too low to start the sixth round. He could be a third round type of value. Andre Johnson seems too low. I know he's older, but guy gets 1,500 yards every year. In the middle of the fourth round, I'm loving Andre Johnson. Brandon Cooks, your boy, too high. I don't like him in the sixth round.
I like him better for NFL than fantasy.
Any final guys towards the end of a wide receiver you'd pick up?
If I didn't have an embargo on the Giants offense, Reuben Randall looks like a bargain in the ninth round.
Yeah.
I like the way Dwayne Bowe and Hakeem Nicks are moving this year. Those guys in the ninth and tenth round, you might be able to get some good wide receiver two value there.
I would not ever touch Miles Austin at 59. I wouldn't.
It's pretty deep.
You know
why?
He's been on the field a lot, and they can't even find him. Something's not clicking.
Marvin Jones, that'd be a good guy to take in your last round of your draft and just stash him, especially if you have an IR spot. He's going to be out for 4 or 5 weeks.
I'm saying that would be a wasteable roster spot.
Why? If you have an IR spot, especially
you don't
want to
carry like a number four fantasy receiver.
I like him as a top 6 or 7 round guy if he's healthy. Nicks is a perfect one. Bo is too low, too. People overrate when guys are going to miss the first week or two of the season. And that's what's happening with Bo missing one game for a suspension. He's still their number one receiver.
Kenny Britt, number 50, 51. Come on.
All right. Well, that's all the time we've got today. We're not going to get to the tight ends. But that's a big-time fantasy preview. There was probably more knowledge dropped in that fantasy preview than the entire season of Fantasy Live on NFL Network. How about that?
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Of course. They do a great job. Everyone
they
should watch
awesome.
That. Michael Fabiano and Marcus Grant and
Adam
Rank and the whole crew, they're on TV every day, and you can get all the daily lowdown from them. We'll be back with you on Monday, recapping preseason week number 3. We're also going to preview the NFC on Wednesday next week as we gear up and get ready for the season. It is almost here. We love you. We got to get out of here. For Mark Sessler, Chris Wesseling, and TD, I'm Greg Rosenthal. We'll talk to you Monday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.